the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we'll deal with the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, which basically means thou shalt not desire your neighbor's wife, or anything of your neighbor for that matter. Viewing pornography in books is covered in this, or in magazines, even looking at bad movies, wasting time on the internet looking at immoral or impure things. Reading sexually explicit materials. You know, you think it's only dealing with your neighbor's wife, but in reality, it's dealing with anyone who draws you away from that purity that is necessary to enter the kingdom of heaven. Dwelling on impure thoughts or fantasies for the purpose of arousal. Now, just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's a sin. You see, it's what we do with the thought that either makes it good or bad. The thought is indifferent. Once we realize that we have the thought, because sometimes a person can be thinking of something, maybe it's a temptation to impurity, and all of a sudden the brain kicks in, you realize what it is, and it is at that moment you have a decision to make. You can either continue with the thought, which leads into sin, or you can say, no, I do not want this, and you can throw that thought out. That is a grace. That is acquiring virtue. It is almost impossible to acquire any single virtue, without being tempted, without being tried in that virtue. But remember, the temptation is neither here nor there. It's always going to be what we do with it. Now, willfully lusting after another person, or immodesty in clothing or in dress, indecency, being indecent, and, you know, in this day and age, almost every song you turn on certain radio stations are indecent, or they're speaking against modesty and purity. Christ teaches us that we must control our bodies and master our minds. And this is essential for the Christian in this day and age. We must live in such a way that we truly are masters of ourselves, the thoughts that come in, as well as our bodies and what we do with our bodies. We must avoid anything that would be an irresistible temptation to lust. And how many times people surround themselves with it? You turn on the television, and that's one commercial after another, is simply presenting lustful images or lustful thoughts, or even cartoons nowadays. They're making them for adults, and almost half of the garbage in them is a temptation to some sort of lust. Now, Matthew 5, verse 29 and 30, speaks about if your eye sins, pluck it out, throw it away. It's better to enter into heaven with one eye than to spend all eternity with both of them. If your hand sins, cut it off, throw it away. It's better to enter into eternal life with one arm, one hand, than to burn for all eternity. Now, this is tough speech, but in reality, for the first 700 years after the death of Christ, the fathers of the church spoke about this tremendous movement of the soul toward lust, and how dangerous it is, and how difficult it is to get into heaven. We must control the mind as well as the sense of touch. This is what purity really is. Controlling these two faculties, touch and thought, the mind and touch. Without chastity, it states very clearly in sacred scripture, it is impossible to get into heaven. And the early church fathers, for hundreds of years, truly taught that because of this sin, because of the immodesty and the impurity in society, and the natural tendency that the human being has toward lust, few it is that would get to heaven. Now, you see, Jesus even says, the road to hell is wide and many go there. But the stairway to heaven is narrow. It's very difficult, and we need to work at achieving our final goal, which is heaven. And without chastity, we cannot achieve our final goal. And chastity must be practiced by everyone Whether you live by yourself, whether you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, whether you are married, chastity must be practiced always. There is not one single state of life that one is excused from practicing the virtue of chastity. Situation ethics is something that has been spreading around and is spread around the world, simply stating that, well, if Jesus was alive today, all these things, perversions and all this stuff would be okay. He would see how, oh, society's evolved. Baloney. That's nothing but a pack of lies. Christ Jesus is the eternal now, the I am. What he spoke is going to be true until the end of time, and it was true from the beginning of creation. It will always be true. There has to be a moral compass that must guide us along our way. Fornication, heavy petting, premarital sex, perversions. All of these things, society tries to tell us every single day that passes, but these are fine. These are fine. And you know, sometimes society almost seems to make sense until we look at the repercussions of these things. We look at how many people end up in destitution or prostitution or end up selling their souls for what? For a moment of pleasure, for a little bit of happiness or physical feelings of joy. And they offer up the greatest gift that God could ever give us, and that is eternal life for what? For a momentary pleasure. Jesus teaches us that we must enter by the narrow gate. We must go against our culture that rejects even the concept of original sin, thinking that everything's fine. There is no such thing as original sin. These are just natural things. We've got to let nature take its course. These are unnatural things. It's unnatural to sin. It is unnatural to die. We were never meant to die. Sin brought death into the world. Sin brings everything evil into the world. It breaks up families. It breaks up people who truly care and who love. It destroys their concept of honesty and truth and love and goodness and peace. It divides. It destroys. It obliterates. We must seek at all times to practice that great virtue of chastity. We have to work with every ounce of our being to seek to be pure. It doesn't mean that we're automatically going to be saints. God knows that every human being on earth is going to struggle with some sin or another. But always remember that the difference between a saint and a sinner is one confession. A saint isn't someone who never falls. A saint is someone who gets up. Saints is someone who has guts and courage to live their life according to the standards of the cross, the standards of Christ.